Hey, Peter, what's going on there? Oh, hey, Joe. Just checking out that Bob Culture podcast they got over there on iTunes. Get out of here, you big stupid. All right, guys, back here on the Bob Culture Podcast. And right now, I'm super stoked to be talking to some good friends in anticipation of their Vans Warped Tour debut in Atlantic City the end of the month. I'm so excited to be joined by Jersey Rockers themselves, the ones you forgot. Guys, how are you? Thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for coming on. You know, you guys are called the ones you forgot, but honestly, you guys are the ones I remember because we play. I know you could probably get that one all the time, right? All right. We'll restart. No, I'm just kidding. But honestly, in all seriousness, I believe a show back at the Wonder Bar in Asbury Park. I think we may have been on the same bill with you guys, or I was supporting another band, but you guys absolutely blew me away from the guitar riffs to the vocals. The overall vibe reminded me of a lot of my favorite bands growing up, but you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We're stoked.
So real quick, you know, I was talking a little bit about like the guitar riffs and the drums and the vocals and all that stuff, and I see a lot of your guys' influences. You know, a couple of the songs we'll be listening to a little bit later, Here Forever, Luna, of course. I hear elements of Angels and Airwaves. With the acoustic stuff, I hear elements of like a Ryan Key or a Yellow Card or something like that. So I just, you know, we'll go around, but basically just interested, let's start with guitar players first, I believe Matt and Ferdinand, but who are your guys' influences musically?
Ferd, you can start that one.
Me, when it comes to writing our kind of music, I have to say like Sum 41, All Time Low, State Champs.
Nice.
Green Day.
Lithia.
Blink.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up listening to a lot of those bands, so...
So for me, growing up, I was kind of, like, all over the place musically, a big Slipknot fan. So, like, growing up, I would, like, listen to Slipknot. I would listen to, like, bands like Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath growing up. So all those guitar players were very influential to me to play guitar. And then as I started, like, getting into, like, wanting to be in a band, it kind of shifted to bands like State Champs, The Wonder Years, Green Day, Blink-182. That was, like, the influence to make me want to be in a band. But for guitar, I would definitely say, like, Mick Thompson from Slipknot was, like, a big one.
Nice, man. Okay, yeah, a little bit of a curveball on that one, but I like it, man. Yeah, you get, you know, I got a lot of, like, weird influences. That's awesome. How about... Let's sort over to bass guitar. How about some bass? I'm going to go, I don't know, I'm just going to throw stuff out there. Are you like a Flea kind of guy, or what kind of basses do you like?
I always thought Flea was really cool. Like, his whole thing, like, everything about him is just him, for lack of a better. Yeah, it's so
it's
Flea.
So unique.
Yeah. And I remember, like, trying to learn stuff from him in bass lessons, like, 10 years ago, and I couldn't do it. Little, like, 12-year-old me, I was, like, trying to do, like, slap bass, and I just couldn't grasp the concept of it, and I was like, man, this guy is, like, amazing.
Yeah, oh, dude, one of my all-time favorites. How about vocals? We'll throw it over to you, Jenna.
Okay, so... I think, you know, when I was growing up, I was really influenced by my siblings and kind of the music that, like, they were listening to. Like, bands like Incubus, Coheed and Cambria, stuff like that. Basically, like, that kind of realm at the time, I think, when I was young. You know, because they had all control over my iPod, so it was kind of whatever they put on my iPod shuffle, that's what I was listening to. But as I got older... So beginning of like teenage, you know, like middle school around there, that's when I started really getting into like a lot of pop punk bands. I was a big like All Time Low fan. I loved Mayday Parade, Paramore, like basically all those bands that were like, you know, crushing Warped Tour during that time. That was like what I loved. And yeah, I mean, it's evolved from then, but that was definitely my influence. I think that's kind of the reason why I wanted to be in a band, was because of listening to all those artists.
Awesome. And I love what you guys are saying. I always ask bands this one. So first of all, I saw you guys, and you know, honestly, like, it's great to see just like a solid like pop punk act like you guys. Really cool. You got a tight sound. You know, you guys are great on stage. Really great performance. But
thank
for
you.
Me, yeah, oh, no, absolutely, it's true. But a lot of the bands in the scene, you know, there's a lot of rock and hard rock, a ton of metal. So I feel like to me personally, maybe I'm just playing, you know, at the wrong venues at the wrong time. But I don't see the pop punk stuff as much. Maybe because I'm a little bit older now, who knows? But do you guys get compared to other bands? First of all, I don't know, a lot. I ask bands this question, they don't always like it. Do you guys ever get compared to other bands?
We've been called the poor man's Paramore.
Exactly, yeah. That's why, yeah. You know.
Exactly. Whenever Pearl is in the front, it's always like, oh,
it's always Paramore.
And I mean, like, I take it on one end as like a compliment because, like, obviously that was a band that I was into for a long time. But at the same time, I'm like, just because, you know, there's a girl there, it's not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not the concept at all. So that does happen, but I mean, that's inevitable, honestly, yeah. When, for like our type of style. But, I think it's really interesting how you were saying Angels and Airwaves and like Yellow Card, because I don't think we've ever gotten either of those artists.
Yeah.
Ever.
You know what?
That's cool. I thought that was interesting.
Flattered.
It's definitely a compliment. And I get what you're saying as far as like the female fronted thing. Like you always get, oh, like, do you listen to No Doubt? Like, you know, I'm a drummer for a female fronted band. You know, the amount of times we get Evanescence, Paramore, the instant comparison is like not necessarily, you know, it's just music, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I get that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about how the band formed. You know, I always like to say the origin story. Was there a toxic waste spill and the ones you forgot were magically created? How did this band come together?
I was bit by a radioactive crab.
We actually all came out of a meteor that crash landed in the Sahara.
Nice. I knew it.
We somehow come in New Jersey.
Oh, my God. So essentially what happened was Ferd was in a band with my older brother. Ferd was in a band with my older brother before I was in a band with him. And then we kind of like, after that, like, phased out, we're all from like the same town. So we all like knew who each other was and, we all knew each other, but like not on like a friendship level where we hung out and like jammed and stuff. And then one day,
I only knew Matt through Instagram
and
seeing him online at shows and just being like, oh, I know who that kid is, but I'm not going to say anything because that's weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty much it.
So like me and Fred kind of like reconnected and started like jamming and stuff. And we wanted to like start doing covers and stuff and, make videos, all that kind of good stuff. And we found Jenna. We wanted to start doing covers with Jenna. We met and started jamming, and
it was really awkward.
It was really awkward. We ended up not covering any of the songs we wanted to, and we were like,
it never happened.
So like, instead of doing the covers, we were like, instead of taking the energy to doing the covers, why don't we just start a band?
Nice.
And there was when we found Lance eventually, and then Justin was actually a newer addition to the band. We had another drummer we parted ways with, and then we found Justin
after Peaks and Valleys came out,
so like,
that summer.
Yeah, so it wasn't even that long of time since it's we started afterwards that he joined the band, and we've been running strong for the past 4 years.
Yeah, and in October of this year, it'll be 5 years since our first show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Wow. So it kind of was like a happy accident, you know, but it was meant to be all along. That's kind of like a really rad origin story. I dig it.
Yeah, I feel like it was kind of, we all like wanted to be in a band. Oh, Justin made his arrival.
Hey!
He brought in White Claw for us.
Yeah, the raspberry.
I feel like it was all kind of something that we all wanted to be in the band, and then we just started jamming for fun, and we're like, well, this is something we all want to do, so why not? Let's take the next step and really, really go for it.
And we all get along so well. We kind of like have such great chemistry, and it just made sense, you know. It was good.
That's great. Absolutely. I hear some beers popping over there. You guys are ready to go. Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is happening in the middle of celebration.
No worries. So I definitely want to chat with Justin about influences and drums and all that good stuff in a little bit. But real quick, you guys have a tour coming up, like a mini tour kind of going on a month leading up to Warped Tour, right? The Tour to Warped Tour.
Yeah,
The Road to Warped Tour.
The Road to Warped Tour tour.
The Road to Warped Tour tour.
Love it.
We leave June 21st, and our first show is in Philly.
I can't wait.
Nice. So do like record. Like an East Coast kind of thing? Are you guys bouncing around? Where are you going?
Northeast, I guess.
Yeah, we're doing Philly, and then right after is Connecticut, then Boston, coming back down New York City, and then up to, like, kind of upstate New York-ish, and then back down to Baltimore. And we might have a Jersey show that we're going to squeeze in right before Warped, but we're still kind of waiting to finalize all that. But, yeah, and then Warped Tour is literally we get home for, like, a day. I'll sleep a lot.
Yeah.
And then we're going to head right back down to Atlantic City for Warped, which it's perfect how it all kind of played out. But yeah, we're really excited.
I'm excited for you guys. We'll talk a little bit about Warped Tour in just a minute. I think right now is a good time to listen to the first track, and then Justin, I want to talk to you a little bit about drumming and influences and all that good stuff. But first, let's take a listen. Right now, we have Here Forever by The Ones You Forgot.
Such a scary thing you have to go through. I feel the same when I think that I might lose you. Taking chances to find the places that we dreamt of for outside your lives. But if you leave me here, I don't think that I'll reach that paradise. Don't say that you're leaving. You will be missed forever. And when you say to me,
yeah!
All right, guys, that was Here Forever by The Ones You Forgot. And, dudes, you know, excellent track. I really dig this one. I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about the writing process and the recording process as well. Is this kind of something, you know, you guys said you were kind of aiming to be a cover band at first. It turned into something, took a life of its own. Is this something where, you know, Jenna's writing lyrics and bringing it to the table? Is this something where you guys come up with a riff? Is this something you guys all get into a room and start jamming? How did these songs come about?
First EP, For Peace and Values, and that whole EP was more so me writing the songs completely, like, instrumentally, and bringing it to the table, make, hey, Jenna, write something to this, as opposed to, or too afraid to say EP, I'd be sat in a room and wrote majority of those songs, and lately it's been working out better that way.
So, love it, really cool. Yeah. And then what's a recording process for you guys? Like, where do you guys record? Do you guys kind of do like a live recording first? Are we doing drums first? What's the recording process like?
Well, once we have, like, I guess the skeleton and the structure of the song set, and like we know that that's like what we want to go with, Ferd will kind of demo it out, and then we'll kind of study it, and then I think, like, once I really start writing to it, a lot of things change, like, because I kind of find, you know, certain things that I think would work better for, you know, me or my melody or things like that, because I tend to write my parts, like, alone. Mm-hmm. Like, when we're doing the song itself, that's, like, a group thing, but when it comes to the lyrics, that's, like, something that I'll do, like on my own time, and then kind of bring it back and show them. So we will, once, like, the demo is set and, like, we know that that's, like, how it's gonna go, and, like, I finish my parts on it, we plan studio time, which we actually have some coming up, which we're really excited because we have a new song that we're excited on. We work with Rob Freeman. He's out of audio, and I share the stage with them, especially since, like, he's been a part of, you know, the last, like, year and a half of our band, because we've been working with him for a while now. It doesn't really seem like it's been that long. You know, it's probably been more towards 2 years now that I think about it. But yeah, because we did half of the EP, Too Afraid to Say, like, before we finished the rest of them. We've been working with the same producer for quite some time now, which I think has actually, it's been really cool because, like, we mesh very well with him creatively, I feel like, and he definitely helps, like, bring out ideas and just makes the songs sound, you know, like, we like the songs to begin with, but then we work with him and then we hear them back and it's like, I love this song, you know, 20 times more than, like, I ever thought.
That's the best.
He's just so awesome. So it's really cool to kind of find that, I feel like, especially so early in, like, our, you know, in the sense of our discography, I guess you would say, because, like, I feel like there's, like, a lot of bands that, you know, it takes them a while to find, like, that person that works for them, and I feel like we've kind of found it already, so it's really cool.
I love that. Really well said, and I totally get that. You know, I've been through it all. I've been in the studio where guys trying to tweak our music, and we're like, do you get it? Like, do you even listen to this? You know, like, I've been there. And then there's people, you know, we're working with someone right now who's seen us live a bunch of times, and he tries to capture our live sound and focus on that. You know, it's just great to have someone who understands you and your direction and where you're going. So it sounds like you guys found the guy.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
That's epic. And Jenna, real quick, you know, just talking about writing, you said you kind of go off on your own and do your own thing. I dig that, you know, just kind of step away from the band a little bit, piece of paper, notebook, whatever, writing down the lyrics. Do you pull the lyrics from real life experience? I've talked to other bands that have, like, an imaginary world. Is there fiction? Is this real life stuff that's going on? Where does your writing come from?
So I would say a majority of it is from definitely just life experiences and just situations that I've been in. Too Afraid to Say itself. Oh, there goes another cracking open another white book. Too Afraid to Say itself. All the songs were essentially based around fear, and things that I literally had found myself, you know, being too afraid to say to people, like, whether that be, like, you know, someone that I had like a falling out with, or someone that I really care about, or even like admitting things to myself. It was all about things that I essentially was like afraid of. So that whole record definitely, like, I would say kind of developed in sense of like personal experiences, and they can be like, anywhere from just like friendships to like, you know, just getting into your own head and just negative thoughts. And there's so many different things that like, it kind of gets overwhelming, you know, that there's so many different avenues you can kind of take with writing, but I really just kind of do whatever, I guess, comes to me in that moment. But not even just that, I like to kind of, when I don't really know if I could find like a place of inspiration, I tend to look into entertainment. So our song Everywhere Everything, I actually wrote kind of based off of an anime.
Cool.
I was watching it at the time, and I was kind of struggling to get my own words out about a situation that I was going through, and then I kind of felt myself relating to characters in the show, and I was kind of like, hey, like, maybe I can write it from, you know, another person's perspective and kind of go from there. So it's really cool. So like, I definitely, like, I take a lot of inspiration from movies and like comic books, and just, I love kind of putting myself into other people's stories. So sometimes lyrics will come from that, but I would say all in all, majority of it definitely comes from, just my experiences and just the things that I observe, all around me. So, yeah.
Love it. No, that's a fantastic answer. Really rad. And real quick, this is the stuff, you know, insert drummer joke here, but this is the stuff I'm terrible at, like decoding, you know, song meanings and stuff like that. Even in your guys' like kind of biography and social media descriptions, as I'm doing my homework, I believe there was the quote along the lines of, feeling scared or vulnerable is okay. Like, there's always a way out, something along the lines of that. Do you guys try to focus on putting like messages in your songs and stuff like that? And what is the meaning behind sort of quotes like that? You know, even the album being called Too Afraid to Say. It sounds like there's a very common theme here.
Well, for that specifically, I feel like it kind of just happened like naturally. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, kind of my whole like journey into music was basically that, like, when the band first started, I had really, really bad stage fright. Like,
no way.
You know, pursuing music was like what I wanted to do really bad, but it scared the shit out of me like a lot. So I guess like I kind of find myself like writing about those things just because it's like a place that I always felt like I came from. But yeah, I feel like the messages a lot of the times are things that I'm trying to tell myself. Like a lot of the times when I'm writing lyrics, like it always seems like a note to self type thing. Like I'm almost talking to myself and like what I should do. At least in like, you know, in those aspects. But yeah, like sometimes there's like a certain thing that I want to touch on, like, well, the new song that we're actually working on now, which I won't give too much away, but that song, like, the concept is all about, like, the passing of time and just feeling like there's not enough time. But I kind of focus the chorus on just saying that, you know, it's okay, and to just kind of enjoy the time that you do have, which will make more sense when you can hear the song. But it's like I try to focus, I guess, the chorus on the real message.
Yeah.
And try to kind of focus it in on there. But again, like sometimes it happens naturally, like it's kind of just happens, and then I'm like, wow, like this is what the song is all about. And then other times there's like a specific thing that I do want to base it on. But sorry, that answer is kind of all over the place. But,
no, it's great. I'm a drummer. I need you to explain it to me in detail. Trust me. I need all the help I can get.
It's totally a mixture of both. So yeah, it's honestly, it's different every time.
No, it's great. That's a fantastic answer. You know, it sounds like you keep it very real. I like that. You know, that's a question I love to ask all the different bands, because I always get such different answers on that. It's cool to kind of just see what like the motivation behind everything is. So that's a fantastic answer. I love it. And real quick, before I forget, you know, now we got Justin in the house. Justin, obviously, on drums. Justin, tell us a little bit about some of your influences in playing, you know, obviously in a pop punk band. Is it your Travis Barkers, your Cyrus Belukis? What kind of guys do you listen to?
Travis Barker is definitely a big influence. It's pretty crazy that we're going to be playing a festival.
Oh, like, dude, he's a machine.
So weird to me. Like all these bands that I've covered as in my first band, like growing up, like, nice. Like the Offspring down there, I used to cover them. It's crazy. But anyway, Travis Barker, definitely. Even going back from like the back in the day, Buddy Rich, it was like my first like big drummer influence.
Awesome.
Then, you got your Neil Peart, your John Bonham. Then I kind of got like more into metal. I'm a big metal head. So like nowadays, like I love like Matt Halpern, you know. Mm-hmm. I can go off for forever, but he's one of my favorites. It's just fun to watch. But I'm very, I have a big... Like I definitely go back and forth between like rock and metal and jazz and all that type of stuff. Those are definitely like my bigger influences.
That's such a great answer, man. I love, you know, getting a little bit from everything. It's not just pop punk bass. You're talking about your Bonhams, your Neil Peart's. When you guys are in a pop punk band, it's really cool to implicate all those, you know, into your playing, man. It's cool. You can take little things for bridges of songs and stuff like that. So I dig it a lot, man. Really cool.
Yeah, it's funny. We're trying to come up with an intro today, and they're like, write something. And I'm like, I only know how to write metal things.
Yeah.
So it's funny, but yeah, like it's cool.
Yeah, dude. Dig it, man. What do you think of those? I see you're playing SJC. You know, I've talked to a lot of guys that work with them. I talked to them a little bit. The kits are beautiful. I've never actually played one, man. What do you think about those? A little shameless promo here. What do you think about those SJC kits?
I love them, man. I played on a couple of them. I have a hybrid, so I have like my bass drum. It's like acrylic and maple. So my bass drum's an acrylic bass drum, and then my toms are like maple and acrylic, so it's pretty cool. Like you get some crazy tones out of them. You put some cool heads. Right now I'm rocking Remos. Nice. So I've been doing power strokes, and I have ambassadors on my toms right now. I'm really liking the sounds I'm getting out of them.
Yeah, dude.
The guys are super cool. Like all the dudes, they get back to you like right away. If you have any questions or whatever, they're really, really cool. Like you send an email, they get back to you like within like 20 minutes, not even.
Awesome, man. Yeah, man. Like I said, the kits are beautiful, man. I could talk shop all day, but let's talk a little bit, you know, as like I said, I'm super excited for you guys. Let's talk a little bit about Warped Tour. You know, Justin, like you were saying, man, you know, it's like a dream lineup, man. What is it? 25th anniversary. You got your Blink-182. You have your Offspring. You know, bands I grew up with, like Less Than Jake, Travie McCoy from Gym Class Heroes. The list goes on. And of course, the ones you forgot, the real, you know, main event, of course. But just what a dream lineup. You know, like I said, somewhere I've always tried to, you know, one of my goals as a musician and drummer, always played always trying to play the Warped Tour. Never, unfortunately, got that opportunity, so I'm very happy for you guys. You know, when they said Warped Tour was coming to an end, I was super bummed. And sure enough, we're back in action with, like, a fantastic, one of the best all-time lineups in my book. I'm super stoked. The Used, I think Simple Plan's on there. The list goes on and on. It's a dream lineup for me. It's like my iPod. I know I'm dating myself. An iPod is something you used to play music on. But yes, you know, it's completely my iPod. I'm super stoked. So hopefully I'll be there covering the event in a journalistic capacity. I'm super excited for that. But tell us a little bit about the Road to Warped Tour for you guys. How did this all happen?
I'll start. So, all of us, I could collectively say, have been going to Warped Tour, you know, for years, of course. Me personally, the first time I went, I want to say I was 12 or 13, and I've went like every year since. So Warped Tour alone, I think, has had an incredible impact on me as a musician. Like I was saying before, I think that and the artists that were playing on it were like a huge reason why I think I wanted to really pursue music. You know, it's like I spent a lot of time being a fan, but then after years of Warped Tour, I was like, it would be like an absolute dream to get to play it, you know, and just
totally
experience it in a totally different way. And it's really crazy to think that, like, it's happening, and, like, it's kind of like what I was saying before, like, Matt was one of those people I would probably bump into at Warped Tour, you know, and, like, that was before we knew each other. Like, it's just, that was something that, you know, me and my best friends, we always did, and
something you look forward to every summer.
Literally was the greatest day, like, of the year. I remember, like, when it would end, it would be like,
well, now what?
Yeah, it was like summer's over, basically. Yeah. Might as well just go back to school at this point, because, like, that was it. But
then you're already talking about who's gonna be on it next year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, literally. And it's like, you know, and then there came the time, you know, once I was, like, old enough, my mom was like, all right, like, fine, you can go to 2 dates, you know, you can start going to, like, multiple shows on it, and, I think we're really just
grateful.
Yeah, just so grateful, just so happy that it's, like, finally happening, because, like, I feel like it's something that we've been thinking about, you know, before the band was even a thing. Like, I was saying, like, I want to play Warped Tour one day before I even had the nerve to sing in front of anybody. Like, I was too afraid to, you know, like I was saying before, like, too afraid to do it.
I've had it on my bucket list since, like, 2013.
Yeah.
I've been going to Warped Tour for over a decade.
Yeah, for real.
I'm 26 now. I think my first one, I was 15.
Yeah. It's just so crazy.
I'm happy for you guys. You guys are living the dream.
Absolutely.
It's so cool.
Very fortunate for it, yeah.
So real quick, you know, super excited. You were talking about writing a little bit of new music. I know you said you don't want to give too much away. Any surprises up your sleeve? Any new tracks? Or we're not giving that stuff away yet?
Well, we're working on a song. Okay. A song.
All right.
So,
songs, but
but like
we're recording
one is truly in the works.
The other ones aren't.
We're brewing right now.
Yeah.
All right, firing on all cylinders. I like that. Very cool.
Yep. Definitely, things are brewing for sure.
It's a great answer. So here's a fun one. I like to ask a lot of bands that come on: craziest or funniest thing to happen at a show. Anything memorable, anything that comes to mind? Technical difficulties, people running on stage, anything crazy?
Oh, goodness.
We were just talking about what happened at our last show. So, like, every time we play the Brighton Bar, like, like the weirdest shit happens to us. That's, every time we play there.
That and is, I 100% agree with that. I'll have to tell you guys after the interview, but yes, that is the craziest place. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so every time we play there, something weird goes down. But yep. this time specifically, we were just walking around. This was before the show even was happening. This was like 2 hours before. We were walking down by the beach, and this guy, we see him in the distance, and like he starts just walking towards us, and we're like, oh God, like what is this guy going to do? He has his phone, and he's live streaming. And he's like, oh, this is like the Food Channel, something or other. We're like, what? He starts putting the camera in our face. And It literally, we tried to get a look. There was like 2 people watching his live stream. And it was like, for some Food Channel. And he's like, who's your favorite chef?
I almost like Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, we're all thinking in our minds, like, Guy Fieri, yeah, Bobby Flay, whatever. And he whispers to us, and he goes, Chef Gregory, because that was him. And we're like, oh, Chef Gregory, yeah. And it was just, and then he started, like, just saying really, like, weird, very weird stuff, making inappropriate comments.
Oh, that's weird. That's awkward, yeah.
And we're like, just like, what the hell? Like, we were just trying to enjoy our day, you know, we were walking down to the beach, and this guy just starts going off, and we're like,
yo. It happened every time.
Like, yeah, right. And it's just like,
so I fell through the stage at Brighton Bar once. Yeah. While I was playing drums.
Wait, what's this?
They had, like, at the back of the stage, I'd make sure to put my bass drum, like, all the way up on the platform as far as it can go. But yeah, there's like, there's a cut in the back where they run the wires down.
Oh, I know it. I know it well, yep.
Yeah, and I guess I had my throne in a bad spot, and, like, one of the pegs, like, fell through. So
we were playing
Do They Know, I'll never forget it, and I had to, like, finish the song out on, like, one foot.
Standing up.
Yeah, like, standing.
No way, man. You know what? That's the kind of stuff, like, good. First of all, good for you, man. Like, the show must go on. Like, you have to go, man. Props to you, man. But I've seen it all, man. Like, I know exactly that gap. I know that riser. You know, you got the little steps to the right if one of your cymbals falls down into that little foxhole. Oh, yeah. I know the deal, man. But man, that's so crazy. I've seen it all, man. I've been hitting my elbow on corners at certain venues, man. So good for you. It's hard to be a drummer, right?
It is. It's a very stressful job.
Yeah. I'm very biased on this show, as you can tell. All right, guys. Talking a little bit about the scene, you know, we're talking about venues and stuff. I always like to ask bands this one as well. You know, feel free, you know, you guys are very involved in the business. Feel free to keep it very politically correct, wherever you guys want to take it. But I always like to ask bands, you know, the state of the scene right now. You know, rock music isn't exactly where it was at, you know, on the forefront like it was years ago. But what do you guys think about the local rock scene right now in New Jersey?
Yeah, oh my god, White Claws are being passed around. So
many White Claws.
So, I can say, like, I feel like when we started the band, I feel like the scene was kind of, like, suffering in a way.
Right.
Not suffering, but, like, I feel like it goes through, like, a cycle, and I feel like it was kind of on the come down, where I felt like, you know, a lot of the New Jersey bands, like, locals, you know, I felt like a lot of bands were breaking up, or... you know, I felt like just like it wasn't like there wasn't really as much happening, but I feel like now at this point, you know, that was like 5 years ago, but I feel like we kind of, yeah, a lot has changed. Definitely a new, I feel like, community has formed.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, you're familiar with, like, Asbury Park, I feel like.
Oh, it's my stomping grounds. Yeah, right here, man. I'm at Belmar, so.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like definitely, like, once we started, you know, playing around there, we started, you know, getting a new sense for like the scene and a lot of cool new artists and like made lots of friends. And, but yeah, Matt was saying too, like so many like venues, I feel like are starting to like open up again and we're kind of.
The lanes has to
end in. Yeah. Yeah. Just lots
venues
of cool
shut
spots.
Down and then venues open up. It's like, you just gotta go with the flow.
It's like, it's just like a cycle. And I felt like now I feel like we're on the up where like, a lot of cool things are kind of, you know, brewing and kind of happening again. I feel like a lot of artists around here are kind of bursting from, like, you know, that local kind of thing and are really starting to do, you know, like, you know, national tours, or, you know, they're getting signed, or, like, I feel like there's a lot of artists that are coming out of New Jersey and are doing, like, really, really cool things.
I love that answer. You know, you got, you know, glass very half full kind of answer. I dig it. And like I said, you know, you guys are living the dream right now. I'm so happy to have you guys on for a few minutes. I really appreciate it. And just happy to see just like a really prominent pop punk band out there like you guys playing Warped Tour. It's awesome, guys. Real quick, where can everyone find your music and follow you on social media and all that good stuff?
So all of our social handles except for Twitter, they're all at The Ones You Forgot. You know, Facebook/The Ones You Forgot. Twitter is Toif Music, T-O-Y-F. We, you know, we say Toif. Twitter's Toif Music. Yeah, we're on Spotify, Apple Music. We're on, you know, pretty much anywhere you can listen to music. We're on YouTube, all SoundCloud. I mean, I don't know who really still uses SoundCloud anymore, but we're
on SoundCloud.
Yeah, we do.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, anywhere you can find music, you just search our name, or right there. Yeah, we're not on Kick. No, we're not on Tinder either. Sorry.
MySpace. Yeah.
Yeah. MySpace. Hey, that was where it was to be. We don't have MySpace.
That's where so many bands got their start.
You know, honestly, that's how I found my band that I'm in right now. I'm dating myself, but MySpace. Yeah, they were looking for a drummer on MySpace. So.
Yeah.
Right there. But yeah.
That
MySpace
was
back in the day. When we were kids.
Yeah, back in the day, bands would get signed off of MySpace without even playing
the
show.
We were on the cusp. Yeah. I remember I joined MySpace, and then maybe like a year and a half later, Facebook was the thing.
I was hesitant to give up MySpace. I was like, oh, I got to make a Facebook.
Yeah.
they can't get my profile song anymore.
Yeah.
And then it was war. If you weren't on my top five, you knew I hated
my profile song.
Oh my
god.
Yo, why am I not on your top five? Yeah. The hell? Put me on your top five.
Oh yeah, I remember being in class and I'd be like, good to connect me. I'm like, you put me in your top eight.
That's awesome.
Really?
Yes. I'm glad you guys know what I'm talking about. That's funny. But I digress. Anyway, guys, again, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for a few minutes. Real quick, I want to take us out here with the track Luna. You know, this this one I think is the most recent featured music video up on your YouTube right now. A little bit more of an acoustic take on things. Tell us a little bit about Luna.
Yeah. So I could say Luna is like the only love song in existence that we have. but yeah, I think it's a very cute kind of song, and the music video pairs with it so perfectly because it's me, Matt, and Ferd. Just, you know, two acoustic guitars and us singing in this, like, a really cool abandoned building. And we have two friends of ours dancing together. And it was just a really cute video, and it kind of, you know, perfectly matched the tone of the song and I think what we were going for. But, yeah, it's definitely one of the favorites. I think it's definitely really fun to play live because you can really hear everyone singing along and going with it.
People put their flashlights up. It's cool.
Yeah, we love the flashlight vibe. Lighters. Yeah.
That's a great photo.
It's just a really it's very, very cute song.
Yeah. That was before.
I remember people messaging me after that show and being like, tell me when that song comes out.
Oh, yeah. When
we played it. When's Luna getting released? I don't know.
They were like, tell me when that acoustic song comes out. And I was like, okay.
Dig it. No, I love it. And, you know, I haven't seen you guys play that one yet, so I'm excited for it. Like I said, I love kind of like that. I don't want to say like dueling acoustics, but just like the acoustic riffs in that and the harmonies. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. Really, really great song, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for a few minutes. I really appreciate you guys coming on. Always a pleasure chatting with you guys. I'll be there at Warped Tour. Everyone, make sure, of course, we got Vans Warped Tour coming to Atlantic City June 29th and the 30th. And be sure you check them out, The Ones You Forgot. Guys, thanks so much for a few minutes.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, guys. Right now, for The Ones You Forgot, we'll take it out of here with Luna. Hey guys, thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout out to my patrons, Jay Crow, Shannon Kruz, and of course, Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.